Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Assemblymember Wendy Carrillo was the only California lawmaker to join Governor Gavin Newsom on his trip to El Salvador. That trip happened in April of 2019. Carrillo's family had immigrated from El Salvador when she was young. The trip by the governor was timely with the ongoing humanitarian crisis at the border, and the assemblymember joined us while they were traveling. You will hear her reference people who have TPS, or temporary protected status.
California is home to close to 700,000 Salvadorians, 50,000 of which are TPS recipients. There is a very direct connection with the state of California to the country of El Salvador. And the more that we've talked to organizations and government officials, it's very clear that there is a direct link between the state and the country. And so when you think about the population of California, we're talking about people that have immigrated and built a new life in the state.
That said, should previous governors have gone? For example, should Jerry Brown have made this same kind of trip?
Every governor has different interests and approach policy in different ways. And Governor Newsom wanted to take a very personal, in-depth approach to the root causes of migration. So he prioritized coming to El Salvador because he really wanted to understand. There are some electeds that choose to look at issues from a balcony point of view and have advisors, people that can tell them about the issue. And Governor Newsom took the approach of actually wanting to get into the weeds of things and actually talk to people and build relationships, because El Salvador plays a big role within the state of California.
El Salvador was your childhood home. It must be quite a personal experience to be there in this way. And as I ask you that, would you also set the stage for your own story that began there?
It's really powerful for me personally to come back to my country of birth in this new capacity as a member of the assembly and as someone that's been invited to come to the country and have conversations about the root causes of migration and the economic issues that are very real to people here in this country. I came to the United States when I was 5 years old during the Civil War, which was 12 years long. And we immigrated not because we wanted to, but because we needed to in order to survive, in order to live. And that, I think, is a conversation that is often missing when people talk about why people immigrate, why people flee violence and war, and why they choose to do whatever they can to provide a better life for themselves and their families. That's the stage in which I see this trip for myself, as being the only representative of Salvadorian origin in the state legislature in this moment in our nation's history, where we're seeing anti-immigrant sentiment, when we're seeing people from the triangle countries of El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala immigrate because of deep, deep poverty that hasn't been addressed in El Salvador in particular since the war. Being here, being in El Salvador and meeting with the president and meeting with the ambassador and learning about how much the United States is actually investing in El Salvador gives me hope and gives the people of El Salvador hope. And that investment, which is we call foreign aid, is actually a boost to the local economy here in terms of jobs, in terms of prosperity. So if we truly want to think about curbing the regular immigration, we have to look at what the U.S. is currently doing to invest in this country following so much devastation after the war.
Your mom went first to the United States seeking asylum. What year was that?
My mom must have left El Salvador somewhere between 1982 and 1983. I was 2 years old and came to the United States seeking political asylum and was denied. But she understood that we didn't really have a lot of choices. So she stayed and she worked really hard to save money to send for myself and her mother, my grandmother. And it took about 3 years for her to save that. In about early 1986, we immigrated from El Salvador to the United States. And I often think about what my journey would have been if I were doing that today. Because very much like the young children that are leaving and fleeing violence, my family was fleeing war. If I were a five-year-old now, what would my chances be? Would I have been separated from my grandmother at the border? Would I have been put in a cage Would I be living the rest of my childhood life in a detention center? And I don't have that circumstance now, but I do feel a sense of responsibility in having had opportunities and having a very similar story and now being in this incredible position to be able to talk to my colleagues and to advocate for what is needed and what is just, to make sure that at the end of the day, the policy that we work on both in the state and on the federal level has a human perspective, that we are talking about people and human lives. And I think that is often missing.
Assemblymember Carrillo, do people in your district have communication with you about this trip? Are you hearing from them? What's their reaction?
People in the district are incredibly proud that I represent them because I am Salvadorian American who is very rooted in my own roots and can advocate on a variety of different issues. So whether it's this mission that we're on now, or whether it's the issues that impact our community at home, which are homelessness and housing and education and health care. None of these issues are separate from one another. We have families that are of Salvadorian descent or of Mexican descent and of other ethnicities that are facing all of these issues. As I mentioned, California is home to 50,000 people that received, Salvadorians in particular, that received temporary protective status during the war. And some folks have asked the question, well, why haven't they applied for residency or citizenship? And when I explain that the federal law does not allow a TPS recipient to receive or have a pathway to residency or citizenship, it changes the conversation. So when we talk about comprehensive immigration reform, it includes TPS recipients. We're not just solely speaking about the 11 million undocumented people that live across the United States. We're also talking about TPS. We're talking about permanent residency status, citizenship, asylum, refugees. And so that is what comprehensive immigration reform is. And so I know that my constituents, and even beyond that, for folks across the state of California who are of Salvadorian or Central American heritage, they're proud to have somebody that represents them, that understands their issue, because I have personally lived it. And that, I think, makes me a little bit more sympathetic to the issue and can be a better advocate.
What's your sense of how the politics and the atmosphere of today compare to what was happening in the 1980s? And I realize you were a very small child, but you've studied it. You know what was happening in the bigger sense then. How is this time similar or not?
I have Republican colleagues who call themselves Reagan Republicans, and I completely understand what they are referring to. That Reagan Republican era is not the Republican era that we are currently experiencing in the White House. And there is a huge, huge difference. I've seen debates with Reagan. I've seen debates with Bush Sr. where the issue of immigration was spoken about with human dignity. And that's not what we're seeing now. We have a president who talks about human lives and other human beings and calls them animals and calls them rapists and says things like, they're not sending their best. That is not the dignified rhetoric of any leader, much less that who represents the highest office in our nation. And that type of politics has been incredibly divisive, hateful, racist, and it certainly doesn't speak to the overall values of folks that consider themselves Reagan-era Republicans. And there is no irony lost on me that President Reagan was very much involved in American involvement in the war in El Salvador, and that he is a former governor of California, and that I am now on a trip to El Salvador with a governor from California trying to figure out how to undo all the wrongs that have been done because of American intervention in El Salvador.
I'm still thinking about your comment a few minutes ago when you said, to be invited back to the country now compared to the way you left when you were five, smuggled out, trying to escape. What specifically do you remember about getting across the border as a five-year-old?
I actually have quite vivid memories. I remember specifically that I was wearing one of my favorite shirts, which was, remember, it's the 1980s, so I had a Mickey Mouse shirt with red sleeves and the white center. And I remember my hair was in pigtails, and my grandmother told me that I needed to be very quiet and that I needed to be my utmost best so that I wouldn't get in trouble. I felt that things were very serious, and I just tried to, at the time, just be a good granddaughter and listen to my grandmother as we traveled, but I didn't really know what was going on. I knew that we had left our home, and I knew that we were going somewhere new. I remember as a little girl growing up speaking to my mother on the phone and seeing photos of her, but never having actually met her because she left when I was very young. And all I have are photos of us. When we were reunited, it felt like a completely new life for me. And that was the beginning of a whole new start, and left everything we knew. And at the time, you know, I'm 5 years old, I don't know what it is that we were leaving. And it wasn't until much later that I fully understood. And then I learned my status about being without legal status, and then had the opportunity, thank God, to have residency and then apply for citizenship in my early 20s. And that has completely changed my life. I was the first one in my family to be able to vote. My four younger sisters were born in Boyle Heights. My mother became a citizen under President Obama, and my father is in the process of becoming a citizen himself. That, I think, is the promise of America and what we all try to do to just improve our circumstance and try to live a better life.
That was Assemblymember Wendy Carrillo talking with us in April of 2019. She was traveling with California Governor Gavin Newsom to El Salvador. There's more of our conversation coming up, including her personal story. This is Insight on CAP Radio.